It's August 7th, 2006, and this is the Weekly Roundup, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro. There was a keynote today, Worldwide Developers Conference. I have not seen the video. I have not seen a picture of Steve Jobs. I am completely untainted. There is someone online with me right now who is, his sense of reality is completely gone because he was actually in the room at the time. Brian, welcome.
Hey, Ricky. How are you? This is Brian Chaffin, by the way. I'm the editor of the Mac Observer.
I was going to get to that, maybe.
That's good. You know, by the way, Steve looks like he's lost a little weight.
Oh, all right.
Yep.
So you were at this keynote today,
and
I thought we'd spend a little time talking about what happened, what you thought about what went on there. I want to start. Just because I'm in a cynical mood right now, what was the lamest thing in this keynote for you? What fell flat in this keynote?
Stationary.
What is stationary?
Stationary is the ability to adulterate your email with HTML. It's a series of templates that Apple has provided that look great, are very easy to use for making your email look pretty. And it's completely unnecessary. It's a complete waste of bandwidth and is highly annoying. And it's probably going to be problematic for some people who are using various non-standard email viewers that can't properly render HTML. But for Apple users that are into that sort of thing, they'll think it's great.
Question.
So expect high bandwidth silly emails to come from your mom.
Now, a quick question about that. In the past, Apple has done things, and many, many software developers and hardware developers have done things that looked kind of gratuitous at the time. I can think of a lot of the interface elements, like the Genie effect in OS X, where when they first came out, people said that's a total waste of power. In the next year or two, I mean, this won't come out for another year. In the next year or two, could it be that bandwidth has caught up enough that people just aren't going to care anymore?
No. Don't get me wrong. No one's going to be going, oh my God, I'm getting that email from Aunt Sue and she's made it HTML. It'll take forever to download. Not that kind of a waste of bandwidth. It's just, you know, email really, in my opinion, is a fairly no-nonsense, straight-ahead kind of thing. You get your letter, you read it, you send the text back. When I get HTML email, it's either it doesn't matter and it should have been text, or it's a pain. So in my humble everyday, actually my not at all humble opinion, HTML email tends to be a waste. Now Apple has set this up to make it incredibly easy to use. I mean, it's actually pretty slick what he showed us. It's just, who the heck needs HTML email? And my answer to that is no one.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about PR here. The most fascinating thing to me about these keynote addresses has become the incredibly sophisticated public relations kind of message sending branding stuff that Apple does, and Steve Jobs in particular does when he's on the stage. I'm curious about your thoughts on this one thing. Normally, the hardware announcements are the one more thing, the big flashy announcements that come at the end of the keynote. And this show, the first thing right off the bat after whatever the introductory stuff was the new Mac Pro and the new Xserve. And those were the only hardware announcements from the entire show. Why did those come first? And does that mean that they kind of sidelined those announcements as not a very big deal?
No, not at all. It's the audience that he's talking to when he's doing something at Macworld, the biggest announcement needs to come last. When he's talking to a room full of developers who are, by and large, Apple's, not Apple's lifeline, but a significant part of the ecosystem that makes up the Mac platform, the audience, the message has to be targeted to them, and what they care about is software. And Apple has to get people focused. Every time Apple does a new revision of its operating system, it has to get all the developers on board developing for the new operating system. So that's absolutely the most important message, is what's coming up. What is it that we want you to be focusing on? So last year we got universal binaries, and And you know, this year we've got or boy, I say that was Universal Binary is actually at the Macworld?
I think that was the
No.
big discussion. It was the Intel transition. It was the announcement of the Intel transition.
Yeah, last year's WWDC, right?
Right.
Right. Thank you, boy. My memory is going fast, it seems. So anyway, that's why. So the order is literally dictated by the audience that they're talking to, and this audience needs to hear about Leopard. The hardware stuff is big. I mean, that's why even if Apple had brand new iPods ready to go, they're not going to announce them at the WWDC. They're going to do a separate media event for that.
I did think it was interesting. One of the in the past, when Apple has released a new high-end machine, they made a big deal about this is the fastest personal computer on the planet. This thing is incredible. It's going to blow your face off. They didn't really do that this time, did they?
No, but keep in mind that now Apple is competing on the same footing as everyone else. So you know they're all using the same processors from the same company, and so Apple doesn't have to try to sell the idea that its choice of processor is the fastest because it's going to be the same thing that everyone else is using. But what they did do is tell us how much better it was than the G5, even though of course we were told at the time how much better the G5 was than Intel's processors, but that's another issue for another time.
Naturally. Now, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about rumor mongering. This one is always a fun story to me. There were a whole bunch of predictions about what was going to happen at this show. The ones that are always the most interesting are the ones that come from the Wall Street analysts, or occasionally from big mainstream media outlets. Two analysts in particular that we talk about a lot at TMO, Shaw Wu and Gene Munster. Shaw Wu predicted that the Mac Pro would come out, but he got the processor wrong. He thought it was going to be the Core 2 Duo or the Conroe chip. Gene Munster was even further off. He thought that there was a significant possibility of movie downloads at iTunes, of a new iPod Nano, and of what he called full Windows integration to Leopard. It's not clear exactly what that means, but I think most people assume that that means something like Parallels Desktop. This is my question for you. They weren't way off. There were good, educated guesses about what were going to happen, but these are Wall Street analysts, and they were still making guesses about what products Apple was going to release. Why is it that Wall Street analysts are in on the guessing game?
Well, that's a very basic issue of the fact that Apple's stock price is largely dependent upon its product line as opposed to its execution of that product line. Whereas every other company that they're competing with, it's all about the execution. There are no mysteries about what Dell's going to be. No one cares what Dell's going to be releasing except for a few IT geeks. It's just new toasters with new paint on them, and it's a matter of how many screws did Dell manage to cut out of this unit. So it's all about the execution with Dell. With Apple, it's all about the product announcements and the product line and keeping people excited about their products and doing all these other things, where they're competing on a different playing field than the rest of the PC world. So for the analysts to get into the prognostication game, I think that for the analysts, it's not rumor mongering. It's really utilizing all of their various industry sources to try to understand what's going to be happening. I don't know why Shaw Wu was totally wrong on the Core Duo, and I have no idea why Gene Munster is talking about iTunes downloads and iPod Nanos at the WWDC. As I said, that event is for developers, Mac developers, so we're not going to be seeing any of these other products that aren't related to that. So I don't know why those guys were so far off, but they're in the game in the first place because Apple's stock price depends on it. And if they're going to have customers and clients that are looking to them for advice on what to do with their money, they've got to show that they know what's going on. Of course, in this case, they didn't.
Now let me that's really the critical issue for me. There's this sense when you read the research reports or when you look at the stuff that gets printed in the press based on what these analysts say, there's a sense that they're saying it like they expect this to happen, and therefore they assume that it's going to be true, and then they turn out to be wrong. Let me press the point a little bit. Why couldn't analysts come out and say, well, there are a number of different things that could happen. If this happened at the show, if these products were announced, then our current valuation for the stock price is good. If these things are announced, then we would adjust the valuation up or down in this fashion. And if these things are not announced, then we would adjust the valuation, whatever. So why not present a series of scenarios and say, this is how our projection of Apple would change if these various things did or did not happen, rather than saying, we expect this to happen and then hope and pray that they were right.
That's a good question. At least on the surface, my guess is that there's a number of intangibles and possibly incalculables that would make such widespread prognostication and evaluation very difficult. That said, I'm not a Wall Street analyst. I've played one on TV once, but I'm not a Wall Street analyst. So, I could be wrong. Maybe they just want to be right. I mean, and a couple of them have been right. Actually, G Munster has been right, I think, more often than not. And Sha Wu is usually pretty close to the mark too. Although, again, I'll spank Gene once again. Steve is not going to talk about iTunes downloads for movies at the WWDC unless there's something in it for developers. It's just not going to happen.
All right. Well, let's move on now and talk about the stuff that the developers cared about. They were there to see what the next version of the operating system was going to look like. OS 10.5, Leopard, is going to be released next spring, nearly a year from now. That's later than expected, isn't it?
It is. I was having a conversation with Monish Bhatia, who is the publisher of Mackinen. And we were talking about just this very issue and the fact that Steve had said it was going to be released at the end of 2006, early 2007. So early 2007 has now been extended to June 21st, as Monish pointed out to me, which is when spring is technically over. So it's definitely being pushed out.
Now, this is one of the things that I'm curious about. Obviously, there was some attempt at smoke and mirrors in saying, hey, look at, in the last, whatever it is, 5 or 6 years, look at all the releases of OS X we've had, and look at the zero releases of Windows X or of new versions of Windows that Microsoft has had. And then slipped in underneath this is the fact that there's going to be a two-year gap between OS 10.4 and OS 10.5. One of the things I'm curious about is, based on what you saw in the keynote today, is it clear why there's a two-year delay between versions of this operating system? What accounts for the two-year upgrade cycle?
My guess, and this is a guess at this point, is that the reason for the delay is the quote-unquote top-secret technologies and services and whatnot that Steve did not talk about. So to remind our readers, so he said that there were going to be some top secret features that they weren't going to show because they didn't want to give the competition the heads up, and that's silly. Really, he's got some things that they want to include that they're not ready to show yet. I don't know what those things are, to be honest with you, but that's probably the reason for the delay, because everything that they showed is probably close enough to be shipping that they could ship by, say, Macworld. So,
and it is. They did show them, and they're going to be in the hands of developers. So they're at least sufficiently well developed that they can be given to developers, and the developers can work with them and rely on them to some degree.
Yes, and of course, keep in mind that a lot of what we were actually shown were tools for or were end products for customers. Some of it was certainly developer stuff, but. But probably at least half of it was in-user technologies that Apple was showing. But yeah, everything that Apple showed is ready to be in the hands of folks that can possibly do more stuff with it.
All right, now let's talk a little bit about that, the top secret features. Again, kind of an interesting thing to hear Steve Jobs say, you know, we're still working on this other stuff, and we're not going to tell you what it is.
He didn't say that. He just said that they had stuff they weren't ready to show. I'm nitpicking, but, you know, Steve is the master of the message that he's delivering and controlling that message. And that message was not that we're still working on stuff, just that we're not ready to show it yet.
Very well, then. They had stuff that they weren't prepared to show for some reason. and presumably we'll learn about those in another keynote event of some kind. Presumably, I mean, the obvious guess is Macworld, but I suppose it could be some other event.
That would be my guess.
What areas of the operating system were conspicuously not under discussion today that might be the areas where they're not ready to show stuff? I mean, some of the stuff that comes to my mind, for example, Spotlight, which Jeff Gamet was on the show a while ago and said, well, Spotlight is a great idea, but the interface sucks.
Spotlight was shown. We didn't see a bunch of specifics, but we were told that there are going to be some enhanced features. It's going to be broadened a little bit, and there's going to be some advanced searches. So that particular product was discussed.
All right, and some of the other things that come to mind, Safari Automator. Again, I don't know if these were discussed because I haven't seen the video.
Safari was not, except for comparing it to Vista adding in support for RSS and IE7, or whatever version of Internet Explorer is out on Windows. Automator was not shown either. And quite frankly, I personally feel that Safari should be the best browser on the planet, and it's the best in some ways, but it's not the best in other ways. So I was actually hoping to see some the results of some more attention being given to it.
Now, among any of those things, whether Safari or Automator or any other things, anything that wasn't discussed that you think is probably still being worked on, or that, I suppose, to use Mr. Jobs' language, is not ready to be shown yet?
We didn't see Boot Camp, and it was referred to as Boot Camp 1.0, by the way. And, you know, I've been a little bit curious that Apple has been talking about Parallel so much. I really wondered if that was maybe hinting at some change in the way Apple was going to be introducing Boot Camp. But be that as it may, it was referred to as Boot Camp 1.0, but we didn't actually see it. We also didn't see anything in the Finder. Don't get me wrong, we saw the Finder in use, but we weren't specifically shown any new features in the Finder or any kind of interface changes or anything like that. From an OS standpoint, no, I can't think of anything else in particular that kind of surprises me that it wasn't being shown.
Fair enough. Now, I suppose it's always worth asking the question. I started with a cynical question, but what in this keynote was most exciting to you? What thing in this keynote got your attention the most?
Time Machine was the thing that I thought was the coolest. Now, that said, and I'm scrolling up in a chat from a message from John Keat, who writes our Devil's Advocate column. Let's see, I'll leave out the profanity, but he called it he called Time Machine jump back with a whizzy UI. Now, I honestly, I'm not sure what jump back is. Maybe Apple is not doing something as revolutionary as I thought it was, but from my knowledge, Time Machine is cool. Time Machine is actually insanely cool. It's insanely great, even. And I think that it is going to be a big deal for a lot of people, even if they don't ever realize it.
Now, what can you describe briefly what it is?
Sure. Time Machine basically is a way of basically storing perpetual backups of all of your data. And the way Apple demonstrated that is you could do a complete restore, although they didn't say how if your hard drive failed, you can pop a new hard drive in and be good to go. I'm not quite sure yet how that part worked. But one of the things that they showed that did make sense is they had a folder. The example was that dad's helping his kid with his homework, and there's five files in these folders, and he's got this folder open for us, and we only see four files, and you know, the peril is obvious. And so
the tension was palpable in the keynote hall, I'm sure.
It was totally palpable. Actually, it was quite funny. Yes, it was Scott Forstall who was doing the demo, and while he wasn't as smooth as Uncle Steve, he was actually still pretty good. Anyway, he's got the folder open, he clicks the Time Machine button, and the rest of the Mac interface disappears, and what we have stretched out in their hundreds was the status of that folder at every time there was a change. And then you could go through each of those folders, you could and pick one, and if there's something, basically you could pick any of the versions of the documents, the files that are in that folder from that instance. Or, in this case, he actually went back until he found the file that had been deleted, and you can preview it and look at it, and then if that's the one you want, you restore, and that file is miraculously restored in the present.
Sound pretty sweet, and I remember I was reading your live coverage during the show. That was how I was paying attention to what was going on, and I noticed some of the stuff you wrote. It sounded pretty cool. By the way, I hear in the background you're at the Moscone Raceway.
No, I'm actually at an apartment near the coast. That was the motorcycle driving by.
Fair enough. So the one last thing I wanted to ask you before you head out, I know you have a lot more stuff to do at the show. After one of these keynotes, Mac people tend to need to go home and sedate themselves and suck some oxygen and chill out for a while. If you were to think for a minute, if you can extract yourself from the whole deal at the show, put on the long-term impact kind of goggles and tell me, how important do you think the stuff that happened at today's show is going to be when we look back at it in 6 months or a year? How much of the stuff that you saw today is really going to be a big deal?
I think Time Machine will be a big deal. I think that a lot of the Gee Whiz stuff that we saw with being able to do stupid effects and iChat, iChat video, I'm sure there are some people that will enjoy that, but I honestly don't care for it, and I don't care about the people that do care about it. From my throne of judgment, that is how I rule. I think that the new Mac Pros are absolutely solid offering coming out the gate. I think the new Xservs are a solid offering coming out the gate. I think that those two things are very important. I think that Leopard is going to be, by and large, a very solid offering. I don't know that it's going to be as amazingly cool as the upgrade to Jaguar was. And I think the Jaguar is probably one of the most significant Mac OS X upgrades we've had, and just in terms of some unquantifiable percentage improvement. I don't know that Leopard's going to offer that, at least not yet, not until we see these top secret things. But a lot of what we saw too, you have to realize that Boot Camp would have been sprung on us today if Apple hadn't decided to make that a public beta. So that, Boot Camp is going to be a big deal in Leopard when it actually comes out. I think the Time Machine will be a big deal too. Core Animation, I think, is possibly going to be important for at least some developers. Which actually reminds me, QuickTime wasn't talked about. I can't remember what the specifics were, but there were going to be closed captioning added to QuickTime maybe, but I'm not sure what other kinds of technologies and services are going to be added to QuickTime, and you can think that there is going to be something in part because movie downloads are going to be important to Apple, that sort of thing. So I don't think this was the most momentous of all keynotes, but I think it was certainly a good one, and I think that the developers there were very excited about it, and I think that Apple's new hardware offerings are going to be well received.
Which all in all sounds like pretty good news. Brian, I'll let you get back to the show. Thanks so much for breaking coming over here to talk.
Absolutely. My Cheers. Pleasure. Cheers, Ricky.
And everybody else, we will be back as usual on Saturday. Bye-bye. One, two, three.
Check.
Sweet.
Thank Wait, which voice me. Do you want? Do you want the voice I was just using, or do you want the voice I usually use with you?
I'd like you to switch every 30 seconds or so from one to the other.
Actually, I could go from a sort of falsetto, sort of a multi-python thing, back and forth, you know, between my manager voice.
It would probably keep people paying attention.
All right, that's my phone that I should turn down.